your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Yes, Father's Day. Is this another Hallmark holiday or the day set aside to show our emotions for the parental underdog? For me, Father's Day is a good day because I have a good father, a man who shows his love with leadership and advice, time, and sometimes money. We don't always agree on everything. Our political concerns have sometimes taken different paths. But I found my faith in his understanding of right and wrong. And we typically find fault with the same newsmakers for being unable to understand right and wrong themselves. 18 months ago, a defense contractor bought the house of Representative Randy Duke Cunningham, a member of the influential Defense Appropriations Committee. The buyer ended up taking a $700,000 loss on the transaction, but all was not lost. The defense contractor's firm, which had been suffering through a flat period in winning Pentagon contracts, suddenly hit the jackpot, receiving tens of millions of dollars in contracts from Cunningham's Defense Appropriations Committee. Questionable? Sneaky? A conflict of interest? Sure looks like it. This week, the Senate issued a rare formal apology, its first of any kind, to African Americans, expressing regret for having rejected decades of pleas to make lynching a federal crime. Could there possibly be a less controversial resolution? Surprisingly, yes. Several senators waited until the last minute to add their names to the declaration once they knew a vote was coming. And at least six senators refused to co-sponsor the apology at all. I suppose under the theory that if government started apologizing for every unconscionable travesty for which it is responsible, things would come to a complete standstill. Finally this week, Justice Department officials cannot seem to agree on penalties for the tobacco industry. 1 month ago, they determined a $130 billion smoking cessation program funded by the tobacco industry was a legal penalty. Then last week, the same officials abandoned that proposal and asked for a $10 billion program. The Justice Department lawyers, including one who signed the May 12th document, argued the larger smoking cessation program would not legally comply with a February appeals court ruling. Representative Henry Waxman, who has requested an investigation of the department's $120 billion change of heart, said, "I am now even more concerned that this decision was made to benefit the tobacco group, not the health of the American people." So let's see. The tobacco industry may continue to sell cigarettes with few restrictions and insignificant penalties, but if someone gets cancer and ends up on chemotherapy and suffering in agony, there will be no selling them marijuana. Even my straight and narrow father taught me to see the absurdity in that. All right, 11:05 here on the wake-up call. Thanks for joining us on Father's Day. Hopefully, you have a good enough relationship with your dad to ring him up. And if not, feel free to do so anyway. Be the first one to step forward. An interesting program on hand because a lot of times I kind of know what I'm getting into, and I kind of know something about the group, the organization, the people who are coming in. But I really don't know much about this group, the Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children, ATLC.com is where you can find more information out about them, ATLC.com. And I expect this hour to be lots of stuff for me. Oh, ATLC.org, that's correct. It is an organization, not a commercial business. Thanks to my my guest in the studio today, Dr. Kent Peterson. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, I appreciate you donating an hour. I always want to thank people for giving up an hour on a Sunday, especially on a holiday Sunday. And Catherine, hey, Catherine, can I spread the news? The not-so-newly engaged Catherine, but Catherine, she's now off duty. For anybody who calls in and thinks her voice is pretty hot, she's got a fiancé now, is telling me that our phone guest is also ready to go, Dr. Jack Travis. Jack, are you there?
I am.
You are?
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thanks for taking time out. Now, you got up extra early because you're in California, right?
Right.
Well, I appreciate that. So if my public schooling taught me well, it's 8:07 out there.
Correct.
Well, I hope you're a morning person.
Uh-huh.
Thank you both for being here today, Dr. Kent Peterson, Dr. Jack Travis, both of whom are with the Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children. And, you know, let's start off with a simple question. What does the organization do? What is the basic mission?
Well, maybe I can start by giving you a little background on Jack Travis, because several decades ago, he was one of the physicians in the United States who said, maybe there's a better way to approach healthcare than to simply treat people when they get sick. And so he coined a radical term for which he received many sneers and questions, and that term was wellness. The concept was that you could be better than not sick, you could actually be well. And that, believe it or not, Rick, leads us to the Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children, because the same Dr. Jack Travis who founded Wellness asked the question about parenting. 6 years ago, he gathered a group in a conference center not far from Charlottesville, and there were two questions that were posed. The first one would be, if you could get the world's experts in childhood development, in prenatal care, in birthing, in early childhood together, could they actually agree on a blueprint for the best possible way to parent children? And the second question was, would individual organizations focusing on breastfeeding or prenatal care or early childhood bonding and attachment actually be interested in coalescing together in an alliance dealing with the period birth minus a year to birth plus a year?
Birth and minus a year, what is that?
Well, that,
is that
means
conception?
That's before conception.
Before conception, okay.
So take your producer who's now engaged. If she decides that she wants to be a parent, what would she do to prepare her body, to prepare her mind, prepare her spirit to have a child? What would she eat? How would she prepare herself in terms of the skills and really being clear that she wants to be a parent? Then once she's pregnant, what would she do to give her child what you could call an optimal womb environment, the best possible place to have those first 9 months before birth? Now, I'm a physician dealing with worker health and safety, so for me, I had a lot to learn. But I've been amazed to learn that bonding and attachment don't happen at the time a baby's born, but they happen at the moment of conception. So that fetus is there listening to everything going on outside, feeling all the feelings that the mother's feeling, and whatever's happening in that environment, that baby's taking it in. So this idea of bonding and attachment starts long before birth, and that's what I mean by birth minus 1 year.
Dr. Travis, can I ask you, what prompted your, should we say, new age thoughts on the topic, because as we're going to get through the program, I think people will find it rather interesting, the different, and I use this in a multi-purpose way, the different links that are associated with the Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children.
Well, let me first say it's old age, not new age. What we discovered is the ancient wisdom that mothers are programmed with of how to nurture babies has been tampered with by the mechanistic industrialization, particularly of childbirth and of how we treat young children. So this is, but we've also found scientific evidence to support it, and there's no scientific evidence to support most of the parenting technology that's used today. It's mainly designed for the parent's convenience, but it's short-lived because then you wind up with what people think is a normal teenager, which is not often a pleasant experience. And that's usually a reaction to failed bonding and connection in the first phases of life. And I want to mention the word connection because that, I think, is the currency of wellness. In my 30-some years of working in wellness, I realized that everything boils down to connection or the lack of it. And in the last part of the show, we're going to bring on the woman, Pam Leo, who coined the term connection parenting, which is really what we are promoting and have been evolving in our blueprint. And her book title that's just going to press is Connection Parenting, Parenting Through Connection Instead of Coercion, which most parenting is done by coercion, Love Instead of Fear. And that is, to me, the outstanding, unique aspect of the Alliance, is that we've gathered together many, many other people who've made a similar discovery or remembered it from our history, and banded together so that we can work with each other to support what is a very definite minority view. The norm is coercion parenting, and people don't even realize that connections have failed early in life for most of us and continue to evolve that way, and as a result we have depression, violence, and addiction, not to mention fundamentalism and ecocide, the destruction of the planet. People who are connected to themselves, each other, and the planet don't destroy their planet. And I'll shut up and let you ask another question.
Well, you know, you mentioned a word that does run into one of my next questions, is fundamentalism. And I think for a lot of people, the question would be, how is the group funded? Is this government-based? Is this politically based? Is this based on some side of a religious aspect?
The answer is very clearly no. The Alliance is funded first and foremost by the volunteer professionals in nursing, medicine, child development, midwifery, parenting, who have donated more than 20,000 hours of their time. One of the fruits of their labors is what Jack referenced as a blueprint, and there is available on the website that you mentioned, www.atlc.org, a blueprint for transforming the lives of children. This is the culmination of years of pulling together scientific evidence in order to recommend to parents and caregivers what would be the absolute best way to start a child off in life.
Jack, do you battle any of the political or religious groups with with the group's theories?
No, we're not big enough. We're not even David's size to take on Goliath. What we have focused on, though, is that there's some research done in the last 10 years of different segments of the population. There are the traditionals, the moderns, and then a group called the cultural creatives, which make up about 26% of the population. And their voices are growing stronger, and they're the folks that are going to naturally recognize what is not rocket science when you think about it. And so we're not out to take on Goliath, but rather to find other people that have already got similar ideas but maybe afraid to talk about it, or they're quietly practicing some of the things we recommend in the blueprint, but because their parents wouldn't approve and so forth, they're afraid to talk about it. So we're gathering people who already understand it rather than being adversaries to the system.
All right. Feel free to dial us up today, folks. It is Father's Day. We are talking with Dr. Kent Peterson here in the studio. Dr. Jack Travis joining us by phone in California, both of whom are from the Alliance for the Transforming the Lives of Children. 979-0919 if you're local. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, a toll-free number, 1-877-967-6762. Ring it on. Catherine's out there waiting to take your call and patch you through if you have something for Dr. Peterson or Dr. Travis. Let me ask both of you, what are some of the wrong ways that society is currently raising children? I mean, we touched on it briefly about the fact that we've gotten away from the old method, but what are some of the specific incorrect ways that things are being done now?
Let me start by giving some examples. In terms of prenatal care, there are a lot of expectant mothers who are still smoking, who are drinking excessive alcohol, who are taking drugs or medication, all of which can adversely affect the child. At the time of birth, we have tended to medicalize birth as if it were an illness rather than treat it as kind of an Olympic event, a peak physiologic experience, by, in the past, drugging mothers, not allowing fathers into a delivery room, and then separating the infant from the mother at the time of delivery as opposed to putting the infant on the breast and allowing an infant to nurse in those first few moments after emergence into the world. In terms of early babies, we have this notion that somehow putting a baby in a crib or a bassinet in another room is good for the baby and good for the parent. Well, that lasted one night in the case of my daughter, Liesl, because we found it was a lot more convenient to have a bigger bed, a baby who slept right in the bed with us and who could nurse whenever she wanted. It meant she felt the skin-to-skin contact, she heard her mother's heartbeat, and she didn't have to go long periods between snacks. As a child gets a little older, I think of what we see of children today. They're not being held and carried by their parents, but they're being put in plastic containers which are carried apart from the parent, put in a car, and often to protect them, they're in the back seat. They don't even get to see a parent. You go into a grocery store and you see mothers shouting no to children and telling them what they can't do rather than treating shopping as a game. So those are some examples of today's practices that really don't represent what Mother Nature had intended for mothers. And then there's a whole set of things for fathers. I remember when I had a child, I thought, well, my wife will raise the child for the first 2 or 3 years, and after she can walk and talk to me, then we'll have a nice fatherly adult relationship. I discovered because of a prenatal course, a Lamaze course, that I could be very much connected with my wife during the delivery process. I could catch or hold my baby, and from the moment I looked at her, I realized that she was not this weak, scrawny, nonverbal creature, but in fact a very powerful, beautiful, wise, and serene being. And so she became my teacher. I thought I would be left out as a father, but in fact I connected with her. And so I had the joy of connection, as opposed to what fathers too often experience, which is that somehow they get left out of the experience while their wives and the baby have that early bonding experience.
Jack, let me ask you, are these right and proper ways, scientific or opinion?
There's pretty good evidence for almost all of the 100 and some actions in our blueprint. There is not good evidence to show that bottle feeding, sleeping in cribs, most of the coercion parenting techniques that go against the infant's and the mother's instinct, there's no data to support that that works. And I think the burden of proof is on the people who are suggesting a variance of the way that it's been done for 99.5% of humans' time on the planet. So while there's not huge research studies done on this, if there's a study done, it should be to prove that the interventions are valid, not the natural and normal way.
All right, 11:21 here on the Wake Up Call with Dr. Kent Peterson, Dr. Jack Travis, as we talk about the Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children, a old-fashioned way to raise children, but maybe getting a fresh new wave look. Feel free to dial us up. Catherine's here to patch you through, 979-0919, 877-967-6762. That's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me take a moment and tell you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy today, highs 75 to 80. Mostly cloudy tonight, 55 to 60. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs 70 to 75. Right now, it's mostly cloudy in the Valley in 66. Mostly cloudy in Lynchburg in 67. The sun's peeking through the clouds here in Charlottesville, where it's 70.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
We also want to toss out our support today to Station Restaurant. Station featuring contemporary Mediterranean cuisine for dinner Wednesday through Sunday, plus a Sunday brunch. Station features a full bar inside or on the patio. Their unique facility is also available for private functions, plus they offer full-service catering. Station Restaurant is at 420 West Main, next to the Main Street Market. Go and check them out. 13th Annual Nelson County Summer Festival is back. It's happening the weekend of June 25th at the Oak Ridge Estate. It's just south of Lovingston. Performing this year on Saturday, Maria Muldaur, the Red Hot Bluesiana, Deanna Bogard Band, and Barbara Martin with Mac Walter. Then on Sunday, the Jan Smith Band, the Waybacks, and Tiger Lily. Plus, there's always food, exhibits, and tours of the estate. Information and tickets for the 2005 Nelson County Summer Festival are available at nelsoncountysummerfestival.com or from musictoday.com. You can also get tickets at Plan 9, Sidetracks, or by listening to win tickets only on 91.9, 88.1, and 89.9. All right, back to the game. I got a call here somewhere. What did I do with that? Rain in Esmont. Rain, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Jack, can you hear Rain?
I can.
All right, everything's great. Fire away, Rain. What's your question?
Okay, I wanted to comment on this way of child rearing, and you talked about, you use the word old-fashioned. And I'm not referring to you. You just said that. And also, you know, you're like, is there any scientific evidence to base that this is a good way of raising children? And I wanted to comment on, it's the natural way, and it's the ancient ways. And so, there, you know, it's the way that people have been doing it ever since the beginning of time. And if you watch the animals, that's the way they do it. You know, and they know. It's in us. It's our intuition. And, you know, nobody's ever used a bottle ever since the beginning of time. If a baby needed milk, sometimes if the mother couldn't give milk, they would get another mother, or possibly a goat could give milk to an infant. And so I think it's really important to look at these natural ways and go back to them, because it's the way that we've survived through time. And I think the way that we're doing things now, I don't know how much longer as a species we can make it. It's really hard. People are having a hard time. But when you go back to the natural way, we've made it this long. And I really strongly believe in it.
Hey, well, I'm not saying that I don't. I'm just, you know, firing off some questions that come to mind. I think you make great points. Thanks for calling, and keep listening.
Oh, wait, I want to comment. This show that you're doing today is so important, and I just want to thank you for bringing these guests, because it's all about the children. It's all about the next seven generations, and if we don't nourish them, we're going to have nothing. And so thank you so much for bringing this to the awareness. I appreciate it.
Need to thank the guests for giving up their time.
Okay, peace.
Well, I would say Rain's comments certainly are music to my ears. When women have read this blueprint for transforming the lives of children, they have made comments like, I wish I'd had that to support my point of view when I was raising my baby, because my in-laws, my parents, my husband all thought I was crazy. But all I was doing was trying to follow my natural instincts. I knew it was important to spend time with my baby, to hold my baby, to touch my baby, to nurse my baby. And I got so much flack for doing what I felt was right inside. So in a way, our scientific blueprint for transforming the lives of children simply pulls together the scientific evidence that says, look, folks, breastfeeding really is healthier. Children sleep better. They grow bigger, quicker. They have fewer infections. They have the immunity of the mother conveyed to the baby. And all we're saying is there's an ample body of scientific evidence, not only for breastfeeding, but also for holding children, for sleeping with children, and for allowing them to be a part of the community rather than be separated.
Dial us up if you have questions for Dr. Peterson or Dr. Travis, 979-0919, 1-877-967-6762. That 1-877-WNRN Rocks number is a toll-free line.
Rick?
Yes?
I'd like to interject something here since it's Father's Day, and that's the dark side of fathering that I encountered with the birth of my first daughter 34 years ago almost, and then again 12 years ago with my second daughter. And it's a personal and part of my passion for doing this work. I was born in the early 40s and put on a four-hour bottle feeding schedule with a general anesthetic at birth and then circumcised immediately. And I failed to bond with my mother. And my premise is that most people under 70 have a poor bond with their parents or their mother in particular if they experienced any of these standard birthing practices, and they don't even know it. So I think we have a culture of poorly bonded people walking around and men looking for the mother they never had. They find her and marry her, and then she has a child, and things start to fall apart. There's an epidemic of men leaving relationships either physically or emotionally, as my father did, shortly after the birth of a child. And this dynamic is so insidious, rarely talked about, and yet when I talk about it, many women nod their heads, mothers, and many men look uncomfortably towards the door. And I think that the first step, I don't have any solutions for this other than preventing it in the next generation by not breaking the connection, but the first step is to at least acknowledge and be able to talk about it so that it doesn't run us unconsciously. So that's my contribution for fathers, working on a book about it. I've published a couple articles on that subject entitled Why Men Leave. So that's something that callers want to comment about. I'm putting it on the table.
Well, I got a caller online. I guess on hold is more appropriate. Kate from Charlottesville. Kate, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, what you got?
Well, actually, your person there just sort of commented on what I was going to address, and that is, don't you feel that a lot of the problems in our society today are a general or maybe a direct result of how our babies are raised and the unconnectedness, I guess, of society, the fact that a lot of people never connect with their children? I'd just like to hear a comment on that.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling. Keep listening.
Yeah, that's it. As I said earlier, the currency of wellness is connection. And most of my life, 62 years, I've been searching for ways of reestablishing or replacing the connection that I didn't experience early on. I see it in the people around me. I see it in the culture in general. And in my work in wellness, it's become the single theme of, and even in communications, am I communicating with the intent to connect with this person or to control them and get what I want? And that wasn't even something I realized that I did, and 90% of my communications are about that when I'm unconscious. Yeah, connection's important.
Let me speak as a public health professional to the issue of connection. When I lecture to executives at the Federal Executive Institute or in major corporations, I say, let's look at the data. A third of us die of heart disease, and the major risk factors are overeating, high cholesterol, smoking. And tobacco accounts for about 20% of all deaths in this country. The second highest is overweight, high cholesterol, and that's about 15%. And then there's alcohol, which is close to 10% of all deaths. You add those up, almost half of the people in the United States die because of things they put in their mouths.
And can control.
So you talk about connection. Isn't it interesting that a generation of adults whose mothers were discouraged from breastfeeding them are now dying of putting other things in their mouths? If that isn't a statement about what every baby today needs and what so many of us missed, I don't know what is.
All right, 11:31. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Dr. Jack Travis in California is going to be with us for a few more minutes. Then we're going to switch phone guests to Dr. Pam Leo in Maine. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. I want to take this last question on, and this goes to the both of you, actually a two-part question. Am I correct in assuming that the Alliance says that mothers and fathers play different roles? Am I making that up, or did I determine that from the information I pulled from the website?
I don't think that the Alliance has differentiated the roles. I would say that what the Alliance is showing is that parenting of young children is not just for mothers, but that there's a very vital and important role for the father. So the role of a father may be different, but the role of the father is to be there, to personally connect with the child, and to be able to remain connected with the mother and the child. Now, that's a challenge, but Jack has pointed out the alternative. The mother connects with the baby, the father leaves, feels left out, father gets frustrated and distances himself. The role of a father or any parent is vitally important to children. And in this day and age, I know of many stay-at-home fathers, and they are fabulous parents, and the child has that great experience of being connected to somebody they love.
And Jack, that's sort of where I flow into the part two of the question, which is, how does a single parent fit into the paradigm of the Alliance? Did we lose Jack?
While we're waiting for him,
we might have lost Jack.
Talking to Pam for a minute.
Sorry.
What was the question?
How does the single parent fit into to everything? What word did they use? The fancy word. How does the single parent fit into the paradigm of the Alliance?
Well, let me first say that one of the biggest problems with the failed connection is the destruction of the village, the tribe, the extended family, and now even the nuclear family. I call it the nuclear family disaster. Because it takes 3.7 adults for each infant to adequately meet their needs, and 90% of all statistics are made up on the spot. So that's one of them. And when you don't even have a father around, it even gets harder. So I know of women who are banding together in shared housing or co-housing situations to try to meet those needs. My daughter was born, which, by the way, was done underwater at home in Mendocino County. We brought my mother-in-law over from Australia as quickly as we could. My wife thought we could manage the first 30 days without her, and it was naive. And then even my sister-in-law came. So we had more arms to hold my daughter in. And it's crucial that mothers get the support from whatever source they can. You can't do it by yourself. We're not designed for that. I think Pam will address this even more.
All right, let's take the last call while Dr. Travis is with us, and we'll switch phone guests. Let's see. We got Natalie from Charlottesville. Hey, Natalie.
Hi.
What you got?
I was just commenting that I think this is a really important show. I've been a nanny for about 4 years, and I've been through a few different families, and it's just amazing to me to see the parents who are really connected with their child. The children are happier. They thrive better. They just don't have behavioral problems like other children I've seen where the parents, you know, they shut them in their room because they're taught this favorizer, which is just like, you know, let them scream. And that's horrible. And I can't believe people are being taught that, and I think this is a really, really important show, and that mothers need to know that there are people out there that can help them and that will help them. They just need to, you know, not be afraid of seeking it, because so many people are just taught to, you know, we lock ourselves up in these little houses and apartments, and everyone's afraid to ask for help, and but the thing is that everyone needs it. So I just think this is a really important show, and I want to thank you for your time and doing this, because people need to know that there are all alternative ways out there, so... Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Yep, bye-bye.
Chase, that's such an important thing, and that's why we have created the warm line that Pam's going to be talking about, which is phone support for parents who can't get it right nearby. And I want to say that I just completely lost the thought.
Well, let me talk about the warm line, because if you'd asked the question, what does the Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children do, I'd say it does two or three things. The first, it has assembled this body of scientific evidence, which is readily available on our website at www.atlc.org. Secondly, we organize several international summit conferences to bring together hundreds of experts in many disciplines, and they not only validated the recommendations of the blueprint, but they said there's a need to provide better support to parents and to families. And so ATLC is just launching a family support network. Now, what's a family support network? Well, one way to look at it is that it's a way of coaching or mentoring parents about how to be effective as parents. We find that there are many parents isolated at home with questions. The extended family is a lot leaner than it used to be. And where do they go for help? Well, help through the Alliance is one telephone call away. So by making a call to an 800 number, 800-460-6105, people can make an appointment with a skilled family mentor or child a parent coach. And Pam Leo from Portland, Maine, is going to be joining us in a few minutes as an example of one of these highly skilled, remarkable professionals. And if you have questions and specific issues about parenting, you might even try her on for size. But our idea was to make available at a very low cost, you know, a dollar or two per minute, the expertise of people who can help support you with your question, with your problem, with your issue, just a telephone call away.
I remembered that thought, and it's this TV show with the woman who just called as a nanny called Super Nanny, which I saw for the first time a few weeks ago, and I was horrified. Because that's coercion parenting at its absolute worst, and the faults that they're dealing with are the results of children with failed connection. And you meet their needs instead of trying to change their behavior. So that was my last thought, and I'll say goodbye.
Dr. Travis, I want to appreciate you joining us, and I'm going to give Catherine a little time here to dial up Pam Leo so she can join us in. And thanks so much for getting up early in California on a Sunday morning.
Very welcome. He used to live in Charlottesville, too, by the way.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that you left.
Yeah, I live in Australia now most of the year.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, we will let Catherine dial up Pam Leo, and we'll do this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week, a massive January fire in Keswick brought an illegal dump site into the spotlight. How long has Albemarle County known about it, and what are they doing to clean it up? Will Charlottesville's new downtown amphitheater be ready in time for Loretta Lynn's planned July 30th show? And the fearless consumer looks at what happens to a cell phone after you call 911. The Hook, the best-priced newspaper around. And we also want to thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. Five Guys Burgers and Fries, recipient of Washingtonian Magazine's Best Burger Award the last 6 years in a row, and rated by Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and open until 10, Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries in Stanton and behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, Charlottesville. 975 Guys. And we also want to thank Blue Ridge Graphics, Mead Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. And I guess Catherine will give me the big heads up. Oh, we're ready to go. I got the big thumbs up already. Let's see. I got to push that button and that button. Pam Leo, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, this is working so smooth. You know, people who listen all the time know that our effort with the phone is sometimes a little risky. But I'm very happy so far. Thank you for joining us, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Now, by the way, phone lines are open again, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Now, Pam, give us 30 seconds on your duties with the Alliance.
My duties with the Alliance. Well, one of my duties with the Alliance is that I am one of their ATLC Warmline phone mentors, and I take calls from parents who call in with concerns.
Now, do you have a some sort of educational degree in a field of that sort?
I have over 55,000 hours spent with and observing children, and I've been studying human development for over 30 years.
All right, you got me convinced. I do want to ask a few questions. We've touched on it numerous times here, and the last comment by Dr. Travis before he left about that Super Nanny program that unfortunately millions of people watch on a weekly basis, what is effective discipline for a child?
Well, actually, effective discipline is what I call proactive discipline. Most of the behaviors that children do that parents feel compelled to discipline are behaviors that children are using to communicate their unmet needs. And if we meet their needs, they don't need those behaviors to communicate needs. So it's about knowing what children need and making sure that we're meeting those needs so that they don't need those behaviors.
Can you give us an example, Pam?
An example. Okay.
Yeah, on the spot.
Okay. A child is having a temper tantrum. And we cannot control someone else's behavior. That's what's making parenting a struggle right now, is that parents are feeling the need to control their children's behavior. If a child is having a temper tantrum, something is hurting that child, or they wouldn't be behaving that way. So rather than trying to stop the child from having a temper tantrum, we need to let them empty out the hurt that they're feeling and then listen to their needs and find out what it is that's hurting them so that we can help them get that need met. You know, if you look at children when they're happy, they're not doing any of those behaviors. So when they're doing those behaviors, that's telling us that something is missing. Either there's an unmet need or something's hurting them. And if we address that instead of trying to change the behavior, parenting becomes a completely different job.
Well, let me ask you, because this came up, I went home for Father's Day and had to come back last night so I could be here to make everybody happy today. And I don't know whether Kent said it or Jack said it, but they were talking about being out shopping and having the child throw a temper tantrum. Now, I'm assuming that the child wants something that you don't want to give them. So how do you make, and I think the phrase was shopping as a game.
Oh, right, when Kent said that. Well, I mean, there's a lot that goes into a temper tantrum that happens at a grocery store. I mean, it may depend on what condition the child is in when you enter that environment, but there are many things in the grocery store that are overstimulating to children, the fluorescent lights, the hum of the refrigeration equipment. So if they go in there with you and they're hungry, or, you know, they've had some frustration during the day and then they ask you for something and you say no and they have a temper tantrum, the temper tantrum is not about you saying no, they can't have a lollipop or whatever it was. That no was just the final frustration. It was just the last straw. If you could just picture that, children store up their hurts because they don't always cry when something hurts them, and then they reach a point where they can't store them anymore and one more hurt happens and then they all empty out. And so we look at the behavior and think a temper tantrum over, you know, not being able to have this, and think that the child is trying to manipulate us into giving us that. And it's not. They're just overwhelmed with a collection, an accumulation of feelings that they can't hold inside anymore.
You know, I recently saw on TV a home video of a child, a toddler, who was going into a room, and whenever it saw the person holding the camera, they would lie down on the floor and rock and have a temper tantrum. And then the camera would move, the child would stop crying and screaming, and would go, and again, as soon as it saw the camera, it would lie down and start screaming and kicking. This went on 5 or 6 times, and all the adults thought this was very funny in terms of how children throw temper tantrum. Nobody ever thought about going over to the child, picking it up, and actually cuddling it. So the child wanted something, but everybody laughed at the child's behavior rather than asking, what does the kid need?
Well, you know, I had a conversation with my sister, one of my sisters who teaches elementary school, and so she's around kindergartners and first graders on a regular basis, and one of her comments for today's program was, where do you draw the line between making the child happy and teaching the child that the world is not a 100% happy place?
This is Pam. I would love to address that because that question comes up a lot.
Please do, because I'm sending her a copy of today's program.
Oh, good. I mean, you often hear people say, well, children may as well learn that it's a cold, cruel world right now because when they get out there, it's going to be tough. And, you know, that philosophy would be similar to feasting for a famine. You know, it's what we've found about children is that the more we meet their needs in their early years, the stronger they become. And it's similar to a greenhouse. If you grow a seedling in a greenhouse and you make sure that it has plenty of sunlight and, you know, nutrients and water, they grow very deep roots and a very sturdy stock. And then when you transplant that seedling out into the world, it has a much better chance of surviving. And the more we meet children's needs in the earlier years, the more they will be able to survive it when it is tough out there. But if they don't get what they need, they're not going to survive it.
All right, we do have a phone call from Matt in Lynchburg. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing excellent, sir. How about yourself?
Doing well. Do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
Turn down your radio just a touch.
I'm turning down as I speak. I can hear the echo.
All right. Hey, while we do that, let me tell everybody that support today, also coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, they have everything you need to get outside this spring. Blue Ridge is area headquarters for camping supplies. They also feature maps, guides, guided backpacking trips, and they now have on-water kayak demos. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can be found in the Barracks Shopping Center, Charlottesville. And, Matt, they're closer to you at the Mountain Inn in Wintergreen.
Oh, that's definitely much closer to me than you.
All right, man, what you got?
Well, I think it's absolutely asinine to think that the idea of the only way to take care of a child is to always make that child happy. I mean, as adults, no one says, well, if you're not happy, then you just do whatever you have to do to be happy, and then your needs will be met, and then you'll be healthier. At the end of the day, the reason that, adults are in charge of governing over children, because your job as an adult is to know what is best for this child, and this child doesn't know what's best for himself or herself. And your goal is to meet, you know, their basic needs and to make sure this children is provided for and cared for and, you know, emotionally, you know, given the kind of love and affection that they need. But in the end, I mean, everyone remembers when they were a child. There's a lot of times you wanted things that probably weren't the best for you, and you get upset and you get angry and you want to do things your way, and then your way is not always the best way. But that doesn't mean your life is not healthy. It means you're not getting your way, and in the end, you look back and you realize, hey, that was probably for the best anyway.
All right, hang on for a sec. Hang on the line, because this is a call that I think I want everybody to sort of play around with while you're here to respond. All right? Pam, you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I think there's a distinction that we need to make between giving children what they need and making them happy. You're absolutely right. We wouldn't give a child everything they said they wanted. But that's different than meeting their needs. And, you know, say, for example, a child wants a toy. And, you know, it's not what the child needs. The child just wants the toy. We wouldn't necessarily give the child that toy, and that's because that's not what they need. Very often children ask for things to try to fill that empty place inside where they're not getting the connection and the attention that they need, because adults will often try to do that. When they can't be there for a child or spend time with them, they buy them a toy. And so children start start to associate that with getting their needs met, and that's really not what they're looking for. They're looking for that connection and that attention. So, I mean, I agree, we would not give children everything they ask for because they don't have the experience to know that that might not be good for them, but we do need to give them what they need.
Let me cite a couple of statistics that talk about the difference between meeting children's needs and making them happy. The percent of children living apart from their biological fathers is 40%. The children documented to have been physically struck by the age of 6 months is 25%. And the children aged 6 to 12 who've not had a 10-minute conversation with a parent in 1 month is 20%. So we're not talking about making children happy, but the basic needs are to have a conversation with the parent, not to be physically struck, and to have a father as well as a mother.
Hey, Matt, are you still there? No, I thought the light had gone out on that line. But 11:51 here on the wake-up call. Feel free to dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-967-6762. That's the toll-free line, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. The Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children, ATLC.org. Right now we have Dr. Kent Peterson in the studio. We have Pam Leo on the phone from Portland, Maine. And earlier, if you caught the program, Dr. Jack Travis was on the phone from California. By the way, if you're joining us late and you have an iPod, you can pick up today's show. It's available for the next 7 days on www.cvillepodcast.com. I'll try and toss that out there one more time before we leave. questions that aren't necessarily... All right, I'll take this back. Matt, you're back?
Yes, sir, I am.
Did that sort of change your theories any? I mean, a little different explanation maybe than from what you thought you heard?
No, well, I think we were kind of going at, I don't think I properly addressed the issue that I really had, and I agree with her. It's entirely, you know, legitimate, and all the statistics you just read, I absolutely agree with. Of course, a child needs to be cared for and loved and nurtured. But my problem was earlier when she said that the way to discipline a child is to meet their needs, and I think that's apples and oranges, because, you know, if you tell your child that you need to go to bed at 9:30, and the child, you know, you need to go to bed, you need to go to sleep or whatever, and the child is, say, 9. And you go to bed at 11, and you get up to get a drink of water at 11:30, and you walk out and you see the kid got up after you went to bed and was out there watching television. They have disobeyed you as a parent. And I don't know how to discipline them. I don't know what need needs to be met there. They don't need to stay up later. You gave them a rule as your parent because you know they need to get rest and to be prepared for the next day. And I don't see how meeting their needs would be an effective form of discipline. I feel that you would need to have some type of discipline that shows there are negative consequences for breaking a rule that has been given to you.
Well, Pam, this seems like a perfect type of call that you might get on the, whatever it was.
The warm line.
The parenting advice line, the warm line. So what's your reply?
My reply is to look at why does the child want to stay up. I mean, children not being willing to go to bed is one of the frequent questions that or struggles that parents have, that children don't want to go to bed when it's their bedtime. And if we look at, you know, why don't they want to go to bed, you know, depending on the age of the child, of course, but for a lot of children, especially young children, one of the reasons they don't want to go to bed is that they haven't had the connection time that they need, and they're still looking for it. It's like the emotional equivalent of having to go to bed with no dinner. If they haven't had any time to connect with their parents or enough time to connect with their parents, then they want another story and another drink of water, or they want to stay up and watch a show. They just really want to be with their parents. So the way to be proactive about that is to meet that need earlier. If we want sleep time to be 8 o'clock, then bedtime needs to be 7 o'clock so that we can spend time with them and meet that need for them to spend time with us so that they can go to sleep.
All right, Matt. Well, see, that line is blinking in a weird, funny way. The other line's working, but, well. Oh, he keeps getting put on hold. Is that what it is? All right, Matt.
I'm here.
All right, what you got? Last chance.
All right, well, I understand that you want to meet a child's needs, and you want to understand why they want to stay up late, but, yeah, I mean, children are just are not always logical. That's why they're children. Sometimes they just want their way. I mean, what is the discipline when a child, you know, doesn't want to do their homework, or when they don't want to get up in the morning and go to school? I understand that you want to understand your child and you want to meet their needs, but sometimes they just want to have their way, just like sometimes adults just want to have their way. And I'm not saying that you ignore your child or you blow them off, but if you've taken the time, you've sat down, you've made, maybe they needed to go over their homework with them, you've done all the necessary steps that a mature and emotionally supportive parent would do, and at the end, this child just wants their way. I don't understand how you can go through an entire childhood without there ever being negative repercussions to a behavior of a child. I understand you always want to try to be supportive, but in the end, sometimes a negative consequence is how people learn in life. It's just, that's a reality that I think parents need to face.
All right, Matt, I want you to write this phone number down.
Yes, sir.
All right, Kent, give it out. This is the parental advice warm line, so you can call and we can do a little bit more because we only got a couple minutes left on the program.
Yeah, call 1-800-460-6105. You can schedule an appointment with Pam or one of the other mentors. The first 10 minutes is free, and I just want to acknowledge Matt. Matt is clearly the example of a man who cares about children, who wants to be a great father, who wants to understand the children, and also recognizes the need to set limits and to create boundaries. And those are the issues that parents struggle with, parents who care, like Matt. So thank you, bud.
All right, man. Give that number out one more time. And Matt, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
1-800-460-6105.
All right, 11:57 here on the wake-up call. I do want to remind you, you are listening to 91.9 WNRN Charlottesville and 89.9 WNRS FM Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg. Don't finish up in just the few minutes we have left, because you're going to want to stay tuned for Jazz Tupelo and Les Temps Perdue. She does the best of the 80s and early 90s alternative. She doesn't play Wilson Phillips, Steve Winwood, or Ace of Base, but you will hear Depeche Mode, Jane's Addiction, and Smashing Pumpkins. And requests are always welcome. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on 91.9, 88.1, 89.9, and WNRN.RLC.net. We got Kent Peterson here in the studio, Pam Leo on the phone from Maine, the Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children. All right, we got just a couple minutes left. What do you two want to talk about? I give you all the time in the world, 120 seconds, without me asking a question.
This is Pam. One of the things I would just like to follow up with our previous caller on is the distinction between discipline and punishment. And we use those words interchangeably as if they mean the same thing. And meeting children's needs doesn't mean that we don't ever set limits, but setting limits is really different than punishment. So I think that's an important part that we need to think about.
Kent?
I would say what's important for parenting, and especially on Father's Day, is number one, for parents to realize that this may be the most important thing that we do in our life. This is our legacy. This is what we pass on to the next generation. So first, be inspired to be a great parent. Number two, there are lots of choices and decisions that parents face. I would say ATLC can help you make informed choices. And then third is just walking our talk. It's doing what we know we want to do, even when we're having a bad day. So those are the challenges of parenting, and I really thank my colleagues in this alliance and wish that our efforts will make for a better generation of children. If we can't create a perfect world, at least we can give the world much more responsive children.
All right, I want to thank Dr. Kent Peterson, Dr. Jack Travis, Pam Leo for coming on. The Alliance for Transforming the Lives of Children, that's ATLC.org. Remember that the show is available for the next 7 days on www.cvillepodcast.com, at least if you have an iPod. Next week's program is going to be on genocide in Darfur, and one of my guests is going to be an Almaro High School student, actually graduate. She graduated a few weeks ago, who wrote a paper that received some national acclaim on the topic. Pam, thank you.
You're welcome.
Kent, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Jazz is up next. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.